The bliss of the abyss, it's here now.
Take two. Hello, welcome to the bliss of the abyss. Ruskin, Denmark. I'm a bit out of my tree today with my time. Things come and go. I wonder, you know, I've never... What would you call it? Normal? Is that the right word? You know what I'm trying to say. For one thing, I wouldn't have to do my own taxes. That seems like a good thing. I just don't know how... What would I even do? Hello and welcome to Beers with your host, Robin Yumark Jones. And please welcome to the stage your host, Robin Yumark Jones. Here he is, your host, me, Robin Yumark Jones. Ruskin, Denmark, Robin Yumark Jones. Bliss of the Beers. I'm just doing, word association. Simple. It's much easier that way. I just word associate. Blini, krep, sasquatch. Just word associate. It's not even... What's the association between sasquatch and blini? Good question. Anyway, what have I been up to? Today, I have... Probably why I'm in such a weird mood, as you can tell, I've auditioned for lots of things. So when you're doing voiceover, there's a few different ways that you get work, and one of the ways is auditioning. That just involves sort of reading scripts by the dozen. Give them a quick edit and sending them off with a little cover letter and hoping that it turns into something. And sometimes it does and often it doesn't. But if you do it for too long, not only do you become sweaty because, you know, you're in a cramped little booth, but also you start to go stir crazy because, you're just sort of hopping from one thing to the next. And there's no thread that connects it all apart from your insane life that you leave. Sometimes leave. And I'm not on the booze right now, right? So there's no off switch. I'm quite intense when I don't have something to take the edge off. I don't know what it's like to live with me, apart from obviously I do because I live with myself. But it must be too much. I don't know what Caitlin was thinking. What was she thinking? But it's a lot, and I can tell right now that I'm being a lot, and it's part of the reason that I'm, too much for most people. But that's why it's quite funny that maybe I should record another one of those positivity voiceovers. It's quite funny if you know me as a person, rather than just as a consumer of my content. If you know me as an actual person, you'll know I'm quite intense. I don't know. Is that... I was about to say I don't want to blow my own trumpet. I don't think that is blowing your own trumpet, saying you're quite intense. I'm not saying like I'm a tortured artist, man, although obviously I am. I just mean I'm not really like the most chill. I can chill, but I can be quite interrogative and that comes across as a lot for some people. So the idea that you would give me mindfulness copy to read. If you'd actually met me, I don't think you'd ever employ me for that job. You might employ me for some other things. I'm not saying I don't have some good qualities, but even that, it was sort of not really making any sense there at all. And I think this part of the other problem is I babble. I speak too fast or I speak too slow. There's no off switch. It's all or nothing. I was the original non-binary, of course. That's how it began. Ooh, antiperspirant. Also, Caitlin thinks I might have ADHD. What do you think? If you've listened to this show for any sort of amount of time, and what the hell are you doing if you have? Welcome. Thank you. Do you think I've got ADHD? Like, I'm not saying that I want it, but I'm not saying I don't want it. What if I had ADHD? Wouldn't that be good? Hey? I mean, I don't know. The good. Okay, let's work out the pros and the cons. Goods would be getting some of that sweet, sweet Ritalin. Is that what? No, is it Ritalin? What's the ADHD medication? ADHD medication. And I know this is not, you know, some people actually do have it and it's serious. And I'm not saying I don't have it. I might have it and it might be serious. I mean, I definitely find it difficult to focus, or I hyper-focus and lose everything. Adderall. What's Ritalin for? Is it for depression? No, it is. It is ADHD. And sometimes narcolepsy. Well, I don't have that. I've got insomnia. That's quite the opposite. Ritalin is a potent CNS stimulant used medically to treat attention deficit hyperactivity disorder and, to a lesser extent, narcolepsy. Imagine having narcolepsy. Woo boy! Now, people with narcolepsy, is it literally at any time you can fall asleep? Like, has it ever happened that someone's giving a lecture? You know, you hear sort of anecdotes about people like falling asleep in their car or something, or it feels like there are moments when does it happen in the middle of coitus? Narcolepsy during lovemaking. Like, has that ever happened? And if it did happen, what would be the way of proving that there was the narcolepsy, you know, and not just, you get it. Orgasmolepsy. Oh, what? No. Orgasmolepsy. Cataplexy during coitus. The usual triggers include laughter, crying, and other high emotional states. Orgasmolepsy. Cataplexy during orgasm. Wow. So you come so hard that you fall asleep. What? We report a 27-year-old right-handed Caucasian lady. Why right-handed? Why do I care if they're right-handed? I mean, you haven't given me their height. You've given me their age. You've told me they're Caucasian and a lady. And then the only other bit of information you've given me is right-handed. I'm sorry. Why is that so important? Out of all of the things you could say, does she have a deviated septum? Is she partial to a Negroni? I don't know. What I can tell you is she's right-handed. Let's hear about her. She was referred to the neurology clinic for evaluation of episodes of seizures. The episode started about 4 years ago. During sex with her husband, she noticed her heart would be pounding and suddenly she'd be unable to move her whole body. Unable to vocalise. It would last for 3 to 4 minutes. Hold on, I just realised I don't know what cataplexy means. So catatonic, I know. I'm guessing, and apoplexy, I know. I'm guessing it's like some crossover etymologically of those two things. It's a symptom of narcolepsy involving brief muscle weakness. Sudden and transient episode of muscle weakness. Right. You're just stunned. Wow. I mean, yeah, you have that to some extent, you know, when you laugh so hard that you kind of like go floppy. obviously, this is much more serious than that, but I'm just sort of making the comparison, making it easy for you. Yeah, talking down, making it simplistic because I don't think you're clever. Neither am I. She did complain of excessive daytime sleepiness and a history suggestive of hypnagogic hallucinations. She was taking naps during the day and also dreaming during the naps. I like the she was taking naps during the day, actually. It's sort of a bit judgmental. A bit like, yeah, she was. Okay. Results. Her neurological examination was unremarkable. Well, then why am I reading this? Her Epworth sleepiness scale was 15 out of 24. What is the Epworth sleepiness scale? How can I take it? And how does it relate to orgasmolepsy? Her sleep efficiency was 91.7% for all you nerds out there who want to quantify everything. How good is your sleep efficiency? Huh? I'm 91.7. But cataplexy disclosure, Dr. Siddiqui has nothing to disclose. Orgasmolepsy, it doesn't really sound like it puts her to sleep, though. It sounds like it just like makes her go stiff. Bam. We describe a case of a young male patient with narcolepsy. Let's see what his orgasmoplexy. So he developed generalized cataplexy during sexual intercourses, on which we have obtained a satisfactory control with pitolisant. I'm going deep into science here, and I'm going to be way out of my depth. It's just a medicine for narcolepsy. Okay, cool. Not cool, but you know what I mean. Orgasmolepsy is an uncommon feature, been poorly described in the literature. Yeah, right? But again, it doesn't really go into detail about... Oh, man. Why am I even talking about this? What was I... See, I don't know if this is... This isn't ADHD, right? Yeah, maybe it is, because I can't remember what the frick I was talking about. I mean, I was talking about that, wasn't I? Cataplexy during sexual intercourse and orgasm is orgasmolepsy. But it's only really... here we go. Here's a BBC. I was going to say it's only in the academic journals, but here's a BBC article. Also, there's a Reddit page. Even better. Screw the BBC. The intriguing puzzle of extreme sleepiness. Yep. Okay, but spin ahead. Again, I can't focus. Here we go. Back in the 1980s, the idea of locating the gene for canine narcolepsy was off the scale ambitious. Breeding narcoleptic Dobermans is harder than it sounds. Is it? Because that sounds really difficult. What do you mean? I thought this breeding narcoleptic Dobermans would be a piece of piss. Turns out, trickier than I thought. As the afflicted tend to topple over mid-coitus, temporarily paralysed, by a cataplectic thrill, so-called orgasmolepsy, that can occur in humans too. This impracticality aside, most people said I was crazy, says Mignot. In a sense, they were right, because it took him more than a decade, hundreds of dogs, and over $1 million, and he was nearly beaten to it. What are these people doing? The Doberman Project. Wait, I shouldn't have skipped ahead. In Dobermans and Labradors, narcolepsy is inherited. Some scientists made the decision to focus on Dobermans. By the end of the 1970s, he was the proud custodian of a large colony and had established that narcolepsy in this breed was caused by the transmission of a single recessive gene. Yeah, so that's why he's trying to breed narcoleptic Dobermans. Those poor bastards. Shouldn't you be trying to breed it out? I guess you breed it in so that you can study it. But there'll be generations of narcoleptic dogs. Is that good? Did he succeed? Should we skip to the end? Little spaced reference there for all you fans. Someone in Texas is doing the exact same thing in mice. Of course they are. These doctors are creeps, man. Okay, come on. Just give me the punchline. It's enough setup. We're still waiting for a happy ending, it says. That's the kind of thing I focus in on, eh? An underlying puzzle, an origin story, foresight, ambition, technological developments, a photogenic animal. Okay, all right. It's like there's too many things at play. I'm guessing what it is. No, they haven't solved it at all. To illustrate this wizardry. What wizardry? Okay. Optogenics. Wow. By deploying a virus, a promoter, and a gene found in blue-green algae, it's possible to render a particular population of neurons sensitive to light. You know, I'm probably shouldn't skip around like this because it doesn't work. A drug that promoted sleepiness. Sleeping pills. Or no, because that doesn't actually give you proper sleep, does it? Cataplexy. I think I found the title for this for this episode. Oh, they're yelling next door, are they? So I tell you what, man, they got a problem. That's the other thing about recording. My loud neighbours with their loud dog and their loud baby with the loud mum. It's a lot. Wasn't as easy. Okay, I can't find it anymore. Simple? Was it simple? Simple. So simple as they thought. Thought? Thought. 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 No. Doberman? But there's going to be too many... This is not... I'm terribly sorry if you're listening to this. You should. I mean, obviously. Ah, here we go. Breeding narcoleptic Dobermans is harder than it sounds. I mean, yeah. I do feel for the narcoleptic Dobermans in this instance. But in other instances, they had it coming. It's their fault. Where was I going with this? Oh, so, yeah. She thinks I've got ADHD. What do you think? I mean, if I listen back to the last whatever it is of me talking like that, it doesn't sound like the guy who's super focused. So maybe I could get some of that sweet, sweet Ritalin. So that's one of the benefits. Obviously, I think also you're not meant to look at that as a benefit. So that's a drawback. Then there's another benefit that if it worked, of course, then that would be good, right? I think people who've got ADHD say that when they first get on the medication, it's like a revelation. They're like, oh my God, I'm able to finally focus on something without having a million things going on at once and being distracted. And oh wow, what's this? That was not even a joke. I just caught myself just being in live time. I think I might have talked about this before. So that sounds good, doesn't it, right? Having a come to Jesus moment, or, you know, whoever you want. Whichever prophet you want to put in place, doesn't matter. Come one, come all. But what would the drawbacks be? I don't want to be on prescription medication for the rest of my life. Why, you might say. I don't know. That's a good question. Why don't I want to be on prescription? Well, I guess because then you're reliant on it, right? If you're reliant on medication, then what happens if you don't have it? You might have a risk of developing a habit. Something that's happened to me before is insomnia medication. It can be habit forming. You know, you can become reliant on it. Suddenly, you need it to fall asleep, and before you know it, you're dead. Okay, and that's the risk I run every day. So that would be why. It's not to stigmatize the medicine. It's more, would I be responsible? Would I be functional without it? I don't know. Open question. What would another drawback be? Stigma. I guess, but I could just not tell people. And I think there's probably less stigma nowadays, but let's be real, there's definitely still stigma. As there is about anything, to be fair. That's enough. I gave two positives, two drawbacks. Eels, QED. There we go. I mean, what more could I... Should I get on the phone right now with my doctor, baby? Doctor, doctor, give me the phone. Doctor, doctor, come on, come home, yeah. Okay, well, look, The Epworth Sleepiness Scale. Subjective measure of a patient's sleepiness. You should come and take this along with me. Nasemso.org. The Epworth Sleepiness Scale. How sleepy are you? No chance of dozing, 0. Slight chance of dozing, 1. Moderate chance of dozing, 2. High chance of dozing, 3. Write down the number corresponding to your choice in the right-hand column. Total your score below. Okay, let's do this. Sitting and reading, chance of dozing, like 0. Maybe if I'm bed and reading, I'm not going to doze when I'm sitting on the couch reading. Watching TV. How are we going to define dozing, please?
Excuse me, I am a philosopher. How are you defining dozing? Is dozing the same as napping? Is it snoozing? Is there a difference to be drawn between these things? If you say, I had a light snooze, I had a nap, I was dozing, are those one-for-one synonyms? I would submit no, that there is a subtle distinction, at least as is understood in popular culture, where a snooze and a doze, I think, would be close together, and a nap would be further along the continuum towards a sleep. And then you've got a deep sleep, and then you've got a coma, I guess. That's the sleep continuum. And then all the other side, you've got awake. Wait, narcolepsy is on the other side with... maybe it's an offshoot. Well, we don't need to get bogged down in the specifics. ADHD. Let's carry on with the Epworth... I'm sorry. The Epworth Sleepiness Scale. It doesn't define dozing, but it's your tendency to become sleepy on a scale of 0. No chance of dozing to 3, high chance of dozing. I've managed to fill in one thing. Watching TV, chance of dozing. I mean, it has happened. What's 1 give me? Slight, I guess. It's very rare. Sitting inactive in a public place, e.g. a theatre or a meeting. Chance of dozing. Inactive. Why would you be inactive in a theatre? Just because you're sitting does not mean you're inactive. Thank you very much. You must be present. That's that thing, you learn it in drama school. If you're on stage and you're not doing, quote unquote, doing anything. If you zone out, like the audience will see you just like staring into the distance and it will take them completely out. So you have to be actively doing nothing, if that makes sense. I don't need to go into the ins and outs. I'm sure you understand what I'm saying. But what they're trying to say, obviously, a meeting, if you're in a meeting and you're being inactive, then you're not really taking part in the meeting, are you? So by definition, well, okay, I never sleep at the theatre. So no, 0. As a passenger in a car for an hour without a break. See, now, I would love to be the kind of person that falls asleep in the car. It has to be like a really super long journey, or it has to be like really late at night for me to actually sleep in the car. If it's just like we're on the road for a bit, I'm not going to fall asleep. I'm just not. I'm that person who's going to be playing tunes, chatting your ear off, or driving. Huh? How about that? No. Lying down to rest in the afternoon when circumstances permit. Sir, I am self-employed and I often work from home. Circumstances do permit. The amount of times I take a nap at home in the afternoon, I can count on like one hand, and my fingers go up to 20. Sorry. It has very occasionally happened, but I have to be like sleep starved for that to happen. If it's just a regular day, I'm not napping. So what do I say? 1, because it's happened, I suppose. Sitting and talking to someone. Wow, imagine if you're putting a 3. Is 3 the highest? 3 is the highest. High chance of dozing. Just by sitting and talking to someone. That's so rude. I mean, am I drunk? Sitting quietly after a lunch without alcohol. Right. Well, I mean, if alcohol was introduced, I'd probably have a higher chance of dozing. But I probably would imagine that's everyone. Sitting quietly. I don't really do that much. After a lunch without alcohol. Chance of dozing. I mean, if it's a big lunch, then that's a higher chance, right? Isn't that just... But that's just everyone. Why do we sleep after a big meal? Isn't it just because it's like your body is like, Jesus Christ, we need to do something. Natural result of digestion and sleep cycles. The type and amount of food. I don't even eat lunch most days. Hey. Look at me, virtue signalling. I don't eat lunch most days, actually. Breakfast, forget about it. If you've ever craved a nap following a holiday meal, fought sleep while driving home from a restaurant, or nodded off during post-lunch, you've experienced a common phenomenon called postprandial somnolence. Ah, nothing like terminology. Postprandial, great. So
science has debunked the myth that your body's redirect blood from the brain to the digestive tract. So actually, no, drowsiness is a result of several body processes. Yeah, obviously. If one of the things is redirected blood, then fuck you for saying it's not, okay? Of course it's several processes. Everything is. Circadian rhythms, sleep drive, the longer you're awake. Yeah, yeah, this is it adenosine? The longer you're awake, the more your body is trying to get, it's really cool. Anyway, reduced brain activity. So it does appear to slow following a meal. Cytokines. What is that? Is that Doug? Doug. Doug theme song. Do you remember Doug? It was... Hopefully it was this. It was a cartoon. So cool. It's... Doug was the coolest. It was like Hey Arnold, but even cooler. Cytokines, baby. Okay, thanks. That answers that. Sitting quietly after a lunch without alcohol. So look, if it's a really big lunch, I guess I might get tired. So I'll give myself a one. In a car, while stopped for a few minutes in traffic. A few minutes? The other one was an hour. Are you saying it stops for a couple of minutes and you're already dozing off? Zero. Okay, total score. Let's see. One, two, three. Analyze your score. 0 to 7. It is likely that you are abnormally sleepy. Sorry, have I got this wrong? Well, they mean abnormally not sleepy. Because 8 to 9 is average. 10 to 15 is excessively sleepy. 16 to 24 is excessively sleepy and you need medical attention. But then 0 to 7 is abnormally sleepy. So abnormal in this case means... That's a poor use of language. But it means... That not sleepy enough, I suppose. Leave. Epworth. Who's Epworth and why has he got a sleepiness scale? So what did I... I got three. A score of 10 or greater raises concern. So a low score doesn't matter? About the Epworth sleepiness scale. .com. Here we go. Sell it to me, Epworth. Sell it to me, Epworth. There he is. Dr. Murray Johns. Oh. Well, who's Epworth then? Dr. Johns developed it. He named the questionnaire after Epworth Hospital. What a nerd. Missed your chance, didn't you, Murray Johns? I guess the Murray Johns sleepiness scale doesn't sound as good as the ESS. Okay. Well, can I... What does... 1997 version... Sitting and reading, watching TV. Yeah, yeah. But can we... 0 to 5. Lower. Here we go. Lower normal daytime sleepiness. Okay. It's a unitary scale. Well, look, I mean, I've learned something here, but I've mainly learned that Dr. Murray Johns, with your Epworth sleepiness scale, are people... I'm not going to be mean to him. He looks like a nice chap. Are people really that sleepy, though? I mean, apart from, obviously, narcolepts. What is it? Lepto. Is it butterfly? Lepto butterfly. Leptaria. Lepidopterology. Woo, baby. Lepidopterology. Is a branch of entomology concerning the scientific study of moths and the two superfamilies of butterflies. Superfamilies. Da-da-da! Superfamily! Someone who studies in the field is a lepidopterist, or archaically, an Aurelian. Oh, that's cool, though. Why did they get rid of that? But what about people who have like loads of butterflies in their house? I don't mean live, but it's not taxidermy, is it? Is it taxidermy butterfly? Because isn't taxidermy, don't you have to stuff? I don't know why I'm asking the microphone. Don't you have to stuff an animal for it to be taxidermied? No, maybe not. Maybe it is taxidermy, which is also a weird word. The art of preserving an animal's body by mounting, I guess derm is skin. So what would the taxi bit? Taxidermy etymology. Taxi. What else could it be? Taxis. Oh, order. I opened a new tab to look up the etymology and it took me back to Wikipedia. Not clever. Derived from ancient Greek, taxis, meaning order or arrangement, and derma, which is, of course, skin. So translates to arrangement of skin. So it's preserving an animal's body by mounting or stuffing for the purpose of display or study. Okay, so it doesn't have to be stuffed, but it can be. Right. Well, what do you think? Would you get yourself taxidermied? Would you? You creep. Is that what you're thinking of doing? How very dare you? Would you taxidermy yourself for 50p? How did I get onto this? So in summary, on the Epworth Sleepiness Scale, I'm an ADHD taxidermist with cataplexy and sleepy Dobermans. Goodbye. Thanks for listening to the show. If you've enjoyed it, please give us 5 stars and consider becoming a subscriber and maybe even supporting us on Patreon. Really, really, really helps me continue making this show. If you haven't enjoyed it, then you can fuck off. Many, many thanks to Nils Hennesteer for the amazing music and to Dave Fox for the cool artwork. Please keep coming back every week for more Bliss of the Abyss.
Message 1.